Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, at least that's where we're going. But the hymn we just sang leads us into the Old Testament reading. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord as news was spreading about Jesus and the things that he was doing and about his preaching, it's interesting how he responds to it all. Namely, to go out early in the morning and spend a long time in prayer. Not dazzled by success, not crushed by persecution. Individual prayers come and go, but the relationship of prayer remains the same. And this all ties in together because we have been through a lot this past year. There's trouble and there's discouragement and there's weariness, and where do we find the strength that we need? I'm going to drop into words from a commentary on Isaiah. That's Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 6. And Isaiah 50, 4 through 6 is a description in the Old Testament about the prayer life of Jesus. It's a fascinating few verses. Again, Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 6. The guy named Motier writes a commentary. He says, "The awakened ear, ready to receive the word of God, is the first mark of a disciple under instruction." Oh! There is a call from God, and it is a call to come and spend the time. The relationship of prayer remains the same. It's that still spot in life. The thing that does not change, no matter what happens in the world, through blessings and trials, through sickness and health, doesn't even change. Here we go to making the reference, come on back to Jesus. Doesn't even change walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which is what Jesus did. By contrast, there is a looseness in how we talk about prayer in our days. And you hear it regularly. And somebody will say, "I'm sending my prayers to you." At which point, technically, please don't send prayers to me. I can't do anything with them. I'm not that good. Send them to God. He knows how to handle prayers. I said it was a looseness how we talk about prayer. But it sets in place a contrast. Look closely at the prayers of Jesus. You'll see something about them. And the prayers of Jesus, they come out of and they are formed by Jesus' relationship with his Father. And that's a relationship from before the world. So is it surprising that Jesus would go out early in the morning and spend long hours in spiritual communion with his Father? Or in the account of his feeding the 5,000 after he had done that, he went up on a mountain to pray. And it was at the third and fourth watch of the night that he comes to his disciples walking on the water. 6 hours, 8 hours in prayer? Yeah. Is it surprising that Jesus would spend long hours in communing with his Father? And then, is it surprising that Jesus would begin to teach us how to pray, beginning with the words, "Our Father"? The whole thing comes out of who Jesus is. And so looking back just a little bit at Christmas, when Jesus was born for us, he brought that relationship into the world. The Lord awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. That's from Isaiah chapter 50. The work of the disciple in his mission did not happen automatically or all at once. That's that commentary again. They're the products of prolonged attention. The discipleship of morning by morning. That appointment with God. And Jesus, the suffering servant, showed his discipleship by responding to the regular call to prayer. He's the second and true Adam, that when God comes calling, he isn't hiding behind the bushes because he ate the forbidden fruit. He responds. Spends time, and then his tongue is filled with the words for ministry because his ear is filled with the Word of God. Out of the relationship of prayer comes, well, in the gospel lesson, taking Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and raising her up, and the fever left her. And out of that relationship comes when they came bringing the sick and the demon-possessed, he healed the sick and delivered those who were in trouble with evil, restored their relationship with God, and then early in the morning out to pray, communing with his Father. This is how it works. Jesus will pray, and when he has prayed, he will teach. He will teach, and when he has taught that the Holy One of God has come among us to heal and to save and to restore, then he will live it out and show it to us by miracles and healings. And then he will go to the cross to deliver us from our sin. And then he will go to the tomb to carry our death on himself. And then from the empty tomb, freeing us from death itself. And then ascending to heaven to make a way for us and returning to bring us on home. See, when he is done putting his word in our ears, he then puts it in our eyes, giving us the scripture to read, pours it over us in baptism through the Holy Spirit, works it into our souls, and calls us to the table to come and have the forgiveness of sins put on our tongues so that he can bring us to heaven and raise our bodies on that last day. And what is called from the beginning to the end is, this is the gospel. Good news. Good news about the words and the acts of God that give life. John chapter 12, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live. And even though he dies. Easter evening to the disciples. It is written that the Christ should suffer and rise on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And that's where he's headed. To spread the gospel to the whole world so that all who hear and have that gospel worked by God into their souls can live forever. That's how the gospel lesson ends. Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I can preach there also. That's what I came for. Nothing's allowed to turn him aside from calling us home to the Father through telling, and then not only telling, but also through healings and suffering and rising and feeding us with the gospel. Nothing is to get in the way of Jesus showing God's love to us, doing so in the most amazing way, in the most eternal way possible. By being the spotless Lamb of God who takes on himself the sin of the world and carries it away forever. And being the resurrection and the life so that he can give life forever. What about us? Called into a relationship with God. That's why the Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father. Jesus is inviting us into that relationship where we say, Father. And by praying, Our Father, we are following his words, confessing what he has done for us to take away our sins, confessing what he has done to us, making us children of God, claiming the relationship that Jesus has given to us. Things come out of relationships. We are carried along by the prayers of Jesus. Better prayers than our prayers. Carried along by the prayers of Jesus, who, the Bible says, ever lives to make intercession. Who this moment and this hour is still engaged in praying for us. And being prayed for means that you are on the mind of Jesus. You are in the heart of Jesus. And in his prayers, he is able to, he is able to provide what we need day by day. And he is able to, more importantly, guide our souls so that we are connected with an eternal God by God's eternal word. So that again, once again, no matter what happens in the world around, this thing called prayer, begun by Jesus, shared with us by Jesus, Jesus who invites us to pray and then wraps our prayers in his own prayers, he carries us along. We could say, well, there are days that we need that. No. There aren't days that we don't need that. And it is good to know that we have a Savior who prays. In Jesus' name, amen.